Please be seated. Let's begin. Lord, guide our thoughts and direction in these moments together. Reveal yourself in your word and in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't know if you noticed that three very interesting and exciting things converged here this morning. First of all, today is the first day of Advent. And that's an exciting time. It always sort of gets us ready. We're ready for Christmas. We're kind of thinking in order, you know, not the day after Halloween or whenever it is they start putting up the decorations in the store and start playing the Christmas music. It's really Advent. This season is the season that leads into Christmas. And it's an exciting time. And our Advent theme for today is hope. Hope. It was the hope of the coming Messiah, and it's a hope that we have for eternal life in Jesus. Well, the second thing we celebrated today is baptism. You know, and baptism, we had the joy of just baptizing six people, which is one of the most exciting times in the church year is when we get to do that. This is people saying, I want to follow Jesus, and I want to do this. I want to stand up in front of everybody and sort of declare it. This is it. It's about as public as you can get. Baptism is a very public declaration of faith, and it symbolizes death in one sense, to die with Christ, to be raised with Christ. The water symbolizes cleansing and this wonderful blessing of knowing that we have new life in Jesus Christ. And then the third thing that happened here this morning is that we have, in our spiritual fruit journey, you know, we've been doing a series called Growing Fruit, we reached this word, and the word is faithfulness. Now, because of baptism, I'm not going to preach a full sermon today, and I see, you know, you'll be relieved about that. But beyond that, I just want to talk for a few minutes about how all these three things come together. I think that's very important. Bill and Val lit our first Advent candle here this morning, which traditionally symbolizes hope. We also sometimes call that the prophet's candle. And the people of Israel had a long period of time in which they were looking forward to the coming Messiah. They knew God was going to be sending someone to put things right because the prophets told them so. Now, you might wonder, you know, how often did this happen? Well, as you go through the Old Testament, prophets like Samuel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Hosea, Zechariah, Micah, Malachi, and more, all told the same story. There was a Redeemer coming. There was a Savior coming. There was a Messiah. Messiah means anointed. The one anointed of God. The King of Israel. But not just any king. They'd had kings before. A special king. The king who would deliver the people and conquer their enemies. God's people placed their hope in this coming Savior. And that was pretty important to them. And it drove them forward. It gave them purpose. It gave them hope. The spiritual fruit series that we've been doing. Today, the word is faithfulness, but you know, I want to tell you something. In Greek, that word faithfulness is actually the word faith. Faith. But here, as we're talking about a quality of faith, the New International Version of the Bible translates this faithfulness. Faithfulness. Now, in this context, it does not mean loyal. Immediately, you might think, well, that means faith. I'm going to be faithful to God. I'm going to follow after God. You know, we use that word all the time, don't we? Batman's faithful companion is? Robin. Okay, so you get that idea. My dog is my faithful companion. My wife Bonnie is my faithful friend. And that kind of thing, you know? Faithful. But this passage uses that word differently. The quality of faithfulness really refers here to being full of faith. Faith, fullness. A fullness of faith. Have you ever had a time of doubt? Come on, be honest. Have you ever had a time of doubt? Some of you are reluctant to admit that. The rest of you are liars. We all go through times of doubt. You know, I've shared with you in the past about some pretty significant times of doubt that I've gone through. You know, there were times when I felt so beaten down that I just felt like my faith had been sort of squeezed out of me at times. I felt distant from God. And during some of those times, I was not very faithful. In fact, I felt kind of faith empty. But, you know, God doesn't let go. I like that chorus, "Oh no, he never let go." You know, that's a great song. And there is such a truth in that, a theological truth, in that God never lets go. And so when we go through those really difficult times, and when we get that faith seems like it's squeezed out of us, and we feel like the hope is squeezed out of us, those seeds that God planted in you on that very day that you received him as Lord and Savior, God is growing those seeds. That's where the fruit is coming from. God, if you have embraced Jesus, if you have given your heart to Jesus, God grows that fruit in you. And so even when you feel like it's all gone, God is still at work. He says, even when we're unfaithful, he is faithful. Now that's the loyalty part. Now he's always with us. And so here we are with feeling like all this stuff is gone, and God is growing spiritual fruit. Being full of faith and having hope are very similar, aren't they? Very similar. They're both forward-looking. They're both expecting something. They're both counting on something to happen. Baptism is an expression of hope. It's a declaration of faith. It's saying, I've received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I want the world to know I've done that. And it's a symbolic sign that having believed in Jesus, something, I'm doing something on the outside to symbolize something that's happened on the inside that we recognize. And we also recognize that something will happen in our future. We believe that Jesus is who he says he is, the Son of God. We trust that he has done what he says he has done. He died on the cross in our place to pay for our sins, to free us from those sins, and we believe that he was raised from the dead. We hope, we believe, we trust, we have faith that we will have eternal life with Jesus after death. And one day, even this earth, it says, will be recreated, and we will live forever with our Savior. In a new heaven and a new earth coming together when all of creation is redeemed. What was born perishable will be raised up in Christ Jesus imperishable. And all of these things are implicit in our act of faith and become applied to us when we put our faith in Jesus, when we believe. All that stuff's happening, even when we're unaware of it. Each person we baptize today, from the very youngest to the more mature like me, place their faith in Jesus. In fact, they trusted him so much that they invited him to be their Lord and Savior, to come into their life and to lead them. Do you know the word serendipity? I love that word. It's an interesting word. It's a kind of a happy chance when things come together unexpectedly. It's like a surprise discovery. It's a nice surprise. It's not a nasty surprise. It's a nice one. Well, when I saw that these three words were coming together, when the three things were coming together today, I really experienced serendipity. It was a happy circumstance for me because I see these things as all flowing together. They overflow into one another. They're all related. Faith or faithfulness is the fruit of the Spirit. We express faith when we come to Jesus. Faith is very similar to trust. We don't have faith in or have hope in or have trust in nothing. We put our faith, our hope, our trust in something. In this case, it's trust in someone, in Jesus. And it's a trust that God is who he says he is, and that he will do what he says he will do. You know, the people of Israel placed their hope in the coming Messiah, whom God promised through his prophets. And even though they never saw Jesus born, they still believed. If you want to read more about that kind of thing, about that forward-looking expectation, read Hebrews chapter 11, that whole chapter we call the faith chapter. It talks about all those people who were looking forward to a place they'd not seen yet, to a person they'd not seen yet. And even though they never saw Jesus come, they believed, and eventually it came to pass. And there's validation for that hope. We see the hope was well-founded. It was good hope. It was trust in the right place. We often talk about hope as if it's some kind of an airy, fairy, nebulous concept. You know, it's sort of out there, hope, you know. Well, I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow. You know, that's not got a lot of expectation in it, but it does have this, well, it'd be great if it didn't kind of an idea. We say, you know, well, I hope I'll win the lottery, even though the chances of that are slim to none, especially when you're like me and you don't buy tickets. Christian hope is far more definite than that. It's far more definite. We believe in someone and something that we fully expect to come. We've had Jesus come into our lives, and we fully expect him to come again. We have hope in a new heaven and a new earth, as promised in Revelation, where there will be no tears anymore, where there won't be any death anymore, because the tree of life will be restored to us. We aren't hoping as in maybe. Maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't. We actually believe that these things will come to pass. That's our hope. That's our faith. That's our trust. So sometimes you feel like your faith is gone. Do you feel like your hope has run out sometimes? Trust in Jesus. Hope in Jesus. We change our feelings all the time, don't we? We change our moods. We change our settings. We change our jobs. We change our clothes, we hope. We change all the time. But God never changes. Jesus never changes. His promises never run out. He never stops loving you. Those promises you believed when you were first saved, well, he's good for them. He'll make good on those promises. Eternal life, it's real, and it's yours in Jesus. Let me suggest and encourage you to take a step towards Jesus today, no matter where you're at in your life. Take small steps, and Jesus will give you real reasons to take bigger steps. If you know in Jesus, if you're serving Jesus now, keep serving him. The more you follow, the more you serve, the more you take in God's word, the more you're going to know about Jesus, but you're really going to do more than just know about Jesus. The more you're going to actually know him, the person who wants to know you in your life. That's a promise. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this wonderful time we've celebrated this morning. As the prophets of old anticipated your arrival, we celebrate your arrival in our hearts. We ask that you draw those who have lost faith back to you. We pray that you will fill those who have faith. Let us put our trust in you, Lord. Lord, once again, we acknowledge you as Lord and Savior. We believe that you are the Son of God. We believe that you died on a cross for our sins. We believe that you were raised on the third day. So once again, Lord, I open my heart to you. Be my Lord and Savior. Live in me and lead me forever. We again ask your blessing on those who have professed their faith before these witnesses and before your throne. We ask you to pour out your power and produce fruit in each of us. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.